You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
.902 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776.
Yeah, I like the fact, though, that we're having conversations about Davis Mills. Nick Caserio won, Lance Zierlein nothing, because I didn't love the philosophy of, you know, you're going to suck. You got a chance of getting a high-end quarterback instead of a third-round developmental quarterback. But the reality is, and listen, there were some bad Davis Mills games this year too. I can't say he's like the solution, but I can say there is enough body of work to think, how would he be with better receivers in a running game and a little better protection? Like,
we saw how good he was with a running game against the Chargers.
It's Charlie Heck. By the way, shout out Texans. And I think it was Bill O'Brien. I don't think that was with Brian Gain. I think it was just Bill O'Brien who added Charlie Heck. And now I like Heck, but developmental swing tackle. He's actually giving you some decent reps at right tackle this year.
Not so much last week, but
No.
But you
and
know
I still
what?
Think young he's player, a, still a young I still player. Think he's a swing tackle. I don't think he's a full-time
that's
starter.
Interesting because there's SB Nation did something. The brightest futures and the bleakest futures for NFL teams. And we'll talk about that after we get Ben in here. He wants to talk about Davis Mills. What do you say, Ben?
Morning, guys.
How are you?
Taking off a day trip to New Orleans yesterday, but I had an interesting conversation. I was actually at a sports bar over in Metairie, which first place I ever tried a tri-blend burger. Now you got me interested to go to Pete's and pick up some of that.
It's the best, dude. It's the best burger I've ever had.
Where's
I'm
that?
Telling you. Pete's fine. At Pete's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The tri-blend. And you can have them make it there. Like, you don't have to buy them
to. He'll make them as thick as you want them. It's unbelievable. But go ahead.
Well, anyway, so I'm sitting out having a drink with some fellas out at the sports bar, and we're talking about quarterbacks and their situation in New Orleans and you know, what they're going to do. And I said, well, we got one that you may want, you know, and I'm talking about Deshaun, and they popped up, and they're like, we don't want Deshaun. We like your long-neck new quarterback, and they're on Mills. So I don't know. I mean, these guys knew some sports, and they were all high on our. They see something in our quarterback, and without even being Houston fans. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting and worth sharing. So maybe we do have something with this guy. You know?
Yeah. What was the? Appreciate it, Ben. Thank you. And you know what?
Nicholas.
He I'm telling you, he throws a pretty ball. Who was it, the quarterback that was doing the color, that was really enamored with him when they were here? One of the games that Davis started.
Trent Green?
I don't think it was. I forget who. I forget which one it was.
Wouldn't have been Sanchez. I think they have him on
a bigger
game.
No, but it was high praise for him. And, you know, maybe we're sitting here and just going, oh, you know, it's the Texans and blah, blah. Maybe we're watching something that it could really flourish.
I do not want to overstate this, but this is the truth. When you look at everything he has done versus everything the other rookie quarterbacks have done, and you just lay it all out, show me the difference.
Show me that the higher picks were better.
Show me who the guys are other than Mac Jones. Show me the guys who perform better. And that's not to say Davis Mills has been king of the world. These other guys have not been very good. Fields, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. You don't really have much of a sample size on Trey Lance. It hasn't been great. Kellen Mond can't even, like, Kyle Trask, I don't even know what he's doing. Kellen Mond, his coach took a shot at him, and he doesn't even play. And Davis Mills. So it was Trask, Mills, and Mond were the next level of quarterbacks. And of all those guys, Davis Mills, and he's doing it with a terrible running game, well below average wide receivers,
and
a makeshift offensive line. He's doing this like Trevor Lawrence technically has more to work with than Davis Mills. That's the truth.
Not technically. He does.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. So that's why I can't just rule out Davis Mills, because if I rule him out, am I ruling out Justin Fields? Am I ruling out Zach Wilson? Am I going to rule out Trevor Lawrence?
Okay, better odds. Okay, who's going to be a better quarterback in the long run, Justin Fields or Davis Mills?
It's too many. I can't say. It's just too many wild cards. I mean, it really does depend on how you surround those guys.
What? Well, you're right. No. I mean, and good coaching. And Nagy knows he's a dead man walking. But from what I've seen this year, Davis Mills looks like a better prospect.
Well, I mean, he looks like a better quarterback. And now he's not going to have the playmaking. He's not the playmaking talent that Justin Fields is. So that has to be factored in at some point.
Yep.
And Justin Fields, you know, pass pro has been really bad. But let's be real here. Working from the pocket. And I've watched all these rookie quarterbacks working from the pocket. It's probably right now Mac Jones, Davis Mills, Lawrence, maybe. I didn't get to see Trey Lance to start the other day, so I can't really against the Texans. I didn't even get to see that game because of where I was.
He was meh.
That's what I heard. Yeah. The numbers look good. I heard that it was
meh,
very average. Yeah. But
and Davis terms of, was under
in terms of playing from the pocket. Davis Mills has been, I think it's fairly easily the second best pocket quarterback, pocket passer, and ahead of Trevor Lawrence. From a consistency standpoint. Yeah. No, that's not true. Neither have been consistent. Davis Mills has not been consistent.
If I ask you this, the five teams with the brightest futures in the NFL, brightest futures, let's say 5 years from now, they're going to be good football teams. Like Tampa's good now. Green Bay is good now, but how much longer do they have Aaron Rodgers? I mean, Kansas City is good. They should be good for a while as long as Tariq and Travis Kelce are there. The five teams that have the brightest futures in the NFL.
Of any teams?
Of any teams.
Brightest futures. I mean, Bengals are probably
they're
in
number
there.
One.
Yeah.
Number one. They established offensive core, solid young coach, boatloads of cap space, and suspect. So just the con okay. is the suspect.
You know who else they're going to say? They're going to say.
And a suspect offensive line.
Even though
but they can fix it.
Even though I don't know that I necessarily agree with this based on the entire body of the roster, I bet you the Patriots are in there because
the Patriots are not in there, but probably should be. Although they did go out and get a bunch of veteran free agents this offseason, which has helped them.
I would say Arizona should not be in there.
No, they're not. Okay. Well, no. They're the Chargers.
You know what? I'd say the Dallas Cowboys should be.
They're not in here either.
I actually think when you look at their defensive talent, and the offensive talent and the age of everyone, and Dak's going to be okay. I mean, is he going to be elite? No, I don't think so. But I think Dallas is going to be in pretty good shape.
They've got the Chargers with an excellent young quarterback, good receivers, huge cap space. They're dealing with, don't forget, the Cowboys don't have cap space. That's a problem.
Yeah, so that's probably
that's
a big
a problem.
Part of this.
That's
don't
a problem.
Tell me they got Houston.
No. Yeah. They got Miami as number three. Elite pass rush, solid pass
it.
Defense, excellent coach, major cap space. This is the Colts. Elite young running back, solid quarterback find, and good cap space.
Yep.
And the Detroit Lions, an exciting coach, motivated roster, young roster.
That's not bad. Who wrote that?
This is done by SB Nation, James Dater.
That's not bad.
Now.
Not a bad list.
The teams that are hopeless futures. And the Texans aren't on this one either. The Giants, two top 10 picks, literally. Everything else is a disaster in the organization. Otherwise, the only thing they got going for them is two top 10 picks. The Panthers, terrible coach, no future quarterback, limited cap space. The Jags, no future coach, lacking organizational talent, ownership that keeps making mistakes. You could put the Texans in that category.
Yeah.
The Jets, worrisome quarterback investment, which is, I mean, dead on, and roster lacking talent. And then the Falcons, and then the Bears. Ineffective GM, horrible coach.
Falcons fans are starting to turn on Calvin Ridley. Are you paying attention to this? Ridley wants out of there, and there is a belief by Falcons fans like, hey, did you use mental health to stop playing this year because you didn't want to play for the Falcons anymore, and now you've found your love for football, but you want to be traded? Like, did you just use mental health as a crutch to just quit for the year? That's what Falcons fans are starting to say about Calvin Ridley. They are not happy with him. And you look at Matt Ryan's probably going to be a cap casualty. They're going to have to move on from Calvin Ridley. I love Pitts, But yeah, you're right.
How are you going to trust to give money to Calvin Ridley right now? I mean, he just could quit on you.
If you think he just quit,
yeah.
And well, I got news for you. Mental health, no matter what NFL says, there's a lot of teams now who will look at that and say, I don't know if this is something that you're going to do to me during the game or during our season, so I'm not going to take a chance. And I think Calvin Ridley, whether it's either way, it could end up hurting him with another team. Somebody's going to give him money, though. He's talented. He can play.
I don't think you give him money. I think he's going to be now he's not Antonio Brown, but I don't know when he's going to get up and walk out of the locker room. I just don't know. I'm not investing a bunch of money in a guy that just up and quits and cites mental health. When is this going to return?
It sounds like it's going to return when he gets traded. It sounds like everything's going to go back to normal when he gets traded.
Right. But then when does it return again? When he's unhappy? When he doesn't get 10 catches in a game? When is this return?
Is there any chance that this is going to be something that is used by other players?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kyrie in basketball, remember, he cited that when he would take games off in basketball.
Yeah. 913 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, the number, if you'd like to hang out here. Interesting story, and I say story, about Trevor Story. And here we'll go back to fan-sided on the other side right here and where he might fit with the Houston Astros next. Go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Story in Fansided yesterday, talking about Trevor Story, a 5 or 6 year deal paying him about $25 million a year. 6 year deal worth $150 million. He's currently 29 years old. He'll be 34 or 35. When the deal is done, I don't know. His road numbers, there's a big enough sample size of Trevor Story. If you're going to pay a shortstop, why not pay the one you got? I know you don't want to do a 10. I get it. You don't want to do a 10-year deal, and he wants $300 plus million a year. He wants more than Corey Seager got. He wants more than Lindor, I guess. But I'm not paying Trevor Story. That, to me, is a bigger risk. Trevor Story for 6 years, a guy who doesn't hit on the road, I just can't do it. He can't hit outside of Coors Field. And he's only going to play there how often? So Lance is bringing in a big dude here into the studio. David, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing great.
David Ojabo from Michigan, number 55, played opposite Aiden Hutchinson. I just got done writing him up yesterday, but I'm keeping it a secret.
You're keeping a secret?
I'm keeping it a secret. I posted a video.
Yes, I saw. It was unbelievable.
I posted a video of David as I'm watching, because I watch all the rush plays and everything, and I'm like, whoa. And I posted it, and it got, like, it's up over 300,000 views right now. A lot of people, I can tell you this, the Eagles fans want you, so you might be an Eagle at some point. Falcons fans and Eagles fans started fighting about you. But
what number are they picking?
I got to see why they're going to be a playoff team, the Eagles.
They're picking 10?
I think Falcons.
Oh, no, wait, they got Miami's pick.
Yeah,
didn't
they got Miami's pick, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, look at you. I already know where everyone's picking.
What are they telling you how high you could go?
I've seen as high as six.
As high as six?
Yeah, that's the highest I've seen, but top 10.
Yeah.
Pass rushers will get pushed. The quarterbacks and guys who go get quarterbacks have a lot of value. So
do you think Aiden should go ahead of you, or you should go first?
He's going to cause problems. I'm going to let you know in advance.
I'm going to favor myself, but, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they have to pick.
So you have a really interesting, I'm glad we get a chance to have you in studio today.
Yeah, you don't sound Scottish.
No.
But you lived in Aberdeen, Scotland, right?
Yeah.
So tell people your background, because I thought it was interesting reading up on your, before I do scouting reports, I read up as much as I can about people. I talked to your strength coach about you some. Talk about how you got to the States, your journey, and what you came over to play before you even played football.
Yeah, so obviously in Scotland, I played soccer and basketball.
How did you get to Scotland?
From Nigeria is where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad's job caused him to move over to Scotland. And, you know, I was just playing sports. I actually played a lot of sports, you know, even volleyball, field hockey, stuff like that. And then I just feel like I was more athletic and bigger than a lot of kids in basketball. So I decided to make the move over to the U.S. And that was through my coach, Andy Field. Coach Andy Field, he had, like, connections in Canada and all that. So he got to emailing people. And we found Blair Academy. And then, basketball and soccer didn't go well at all. Long story short, they didn't go well at all. First year or two, and then, boom, got into track. Started running. And
you were 100. You won 100 meters.
Yeah, I won the prep state championship.
This is a defensive end. He ran a sub 11, ran in, I think, a 10.9.
Yeah, 10.9.
And you won the 100 meters. The story I read is that people may remember Jason Owe, also Odafe Owe is what he goes by now. He had probably... I gave him probably the highest draft grade that anyone had on him because he is a freak show physically. Like height, length, speed, explosiveness, rare traits. Ran a 4.440. He and Micah Parsons, the stuff that they did at Penn State, insane workouts. Well, I know your workout's going to end up being pretty good too, but I thought it was interesting the story that you went to the coach. This is what the coach says. You went into the coach, you weren't even playing football, and you said, I'm better than Jason Owe. I want to come play football. Is that true?
Something along those lines. I didn't word it like that.
Okay.
But, like, you know, I pretty much said, like, yo, like, you see what he's doing? You know, I feel I could do better, you know?
Right.
You know, something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just believing in myself, but also just being around him and, like, mimicking the stuff he did, you know? I went in, you know, I said, you know, I could do the same or better, you know.
So. You used the word that's interesting, mimicking. Mm. So John, let me tell you this. I told you this yesterday. So I'm watching your tape, and you guys just got done playing in the college football playoffs. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. I watched the run tape. I'm like, I mean, he needs to get better, this, that, and the other thing. Then I turn on the passing tape, and I started seeing things. Now, you played 620 snaps in college. That's not much.
Yeah.
Not much at all. You were 2019 Player of the Year on scout team.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, you played mostly on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you're a starter and had 11.5 sacks. So, like, out of nowhere, you had a lot of productivity. And I'm watching, and you've got pass rush moves and an approach that 3- and 4-year starters don't have. And I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense at all that you should have these kind of pass rush moves when you haven't done it much. And so I had a chance to email you yesterday, and I asked you about that, and you talked about mimicking what you saw at Michigan through players who were there when you were there and even a guy who wasn't there, you know, when you were there. Can you talk about mimicking what you saw and how that's helped you as a pass rusher?
Yeah, I mean, the first 2 years there, I didn't get playing time like that, so a lot of it was scout team and then watching, like, the starters work. And so watching people like Josh Uche, Quiddy Pay, all first, second round guys, high end guys, you know. Uche had a killer ghost move, got that from him, you know. Quiddy Stutter, got that from him, you know.
So you're just watching him saying, ooh, I'm going to try that.
And yeah, just peel off in the corner. I watched Uche when he wasn't in for his reps, he would be in the corner doing pass rush moves. And so I picked that up from him. So, like, every time I get a chance, like, you always see me kind of just working what I see. And then when I got my chance, you know, I could actually work it, you know, against, you know, people.
You said Frank Clark is another guy that you had watched also,
former
Michigan guy.
Even just the way he moves, like, I got, like, kind of like my cadences from him and, like, the unorthodox movements and showing and just everything, man. I just watch and try to implement that into my game.
David Ojabo is with us in studio here, defensive end for Michigan, going high in this draft. That move that you posted, Lance, was unbelievable.
Yeah, so
if you're not following Lance on Twitter, you need to
follow
him.
It's a move that had NFL guys like Damian Woody commented on it. Trey Thomas, a 12-year NFL vet tackle, who said, man, nice outside spin. Like, a lot of guys do inside spin. Not many guys do an outside spin. It's much, much harder. I saw a fake bull rush where he fakes a bull rush and then it gets to the edge, which I don't see anyone doing that kind of stuff. And listen, Aiden Hutchinson's a talented rusher too, but he rushes with more power. And David is a guy who is, you know, and this is something Georgia fans brought up a lot. They got all sad that I was giving some shining a light on a guy making what I thought was a really great looking rush move. He got no stats, zero stats. Like, okay, first of all, that's not our conversation over here. But I did want to ask you about that because you didn't play as much. I think there was maybe a concern about how you'd hold up against the run. You only had four snaps against the run. How did you take that when people look at you and they say, well, he's not developed, he's underdeveloped, he's only a one-way guy right now, pass rushing guy. You're going to deal with that criticism. What do you say to that?
Well, firstly, if it's not coming from someone who knows football well-versed, I'm not even listening to them. So that's one. But two, I mean, end of the day, I just need to be taught, you know? Like, most of these guys who are good, on the other hand, have, you know, probably been playing the game for longer than 5 years. You know?
You've played football a total of 5 years.
Yeah. So, like, it's just a case of if that's the case, then let me learn. The same way I learned how to pass rush and all that, you know. Give me the tools. Let me learn how to play the run.
That's what I think happens is a lot of times people don't realize you're not who you are at the age of 20 and 21.
No.
You're going to get bigger. You're going to get better.
Yep. All right. We got David Ojabo in studio.
You're the same as you were when you were 21. Same problem.
I'm the same guy.
Same problem.
I'm the same guy, though.
Red character. He's a red flag on the character.
Red flags, yeah.
They would not draft him.
Character issues all over. We'll do more with David Ojabo. All right, here, if you've got a question for the Michigan defensive end, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, but right now I want to talk about a former athlete who has his own practice. Yeah, me. But no, I'm talking about Dr. Lateef. And I'm talking about a guy who has been able to help people with their foot issues, foot and ankle issues, and that is Dr. Lateef. Dr. Lateef Nuruddin does an amazing job of diagnosing issues. If you've got something as simple as plantar fasciitis, it's simple for him to diagnose, but the treatment is not as simple, and certainly getting better and getting healthy is something that's hard to do on your own. Chronic foot pain, chronic ankle pain, if you have a sports injury that never really healed properly, and maybe you need surgery, maybe you need something non-invasive, he's got that for you, and he can do that. Dr. Lateef is a former athlete and knows what it takes to get you back in the game of just enjoying yourself and pain-free. Even diabetic foot care, he does that as well. If you want to schedule an appointment, make sure you go to the website BayouCityFA.com. That's BayouCityFA.com, specializing in sports injuries, heel pain, foot and ankle injuries. Dr. Lateef is ready for you. He's here in the city of Houston, and he's waiting for your phone call at 281-500-8891.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 9:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. David Ojabo is in studio with us, the defensive end from Michigan. Here in Houston, you came from Aberdeen. How'd you get to Houston?
My host family actually live here. So every time I'm on a short break or something, you know, I just...
Well, the same ones you when you went to school in...
Blair Academy, New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Yeah. They now live here?
They've lived here. I was in boarding school.
Oh,
yeah, so like,
okay.
but they live here as well.
Yeah, they live here in Houston. Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's probably got to do with Bruce Davidson, who was in Aberdeen and has a huge connection and brought a lot of Aberdeen kids to the city of Houston. I'm sure that Bruce Davidson has some kind of connection there.
I don't know if you were familiar with Texas high school football. It's pretty good here. Why did you end up in a boarding school in New Jersey?
Well, I think
honestly, you know,
I actually don't know, to be honest. That's, it's God's plan, I guess.
That's where I ended up. That's it. Yeah. You said that guy that you had a guy who helped you through to get through all of this stuff from Aberdeen to here. How'd you get to Michigan?
Through recruiting. So I got my offers, and then I, you know, broke it down to top five, all that, and I picked
Michigan. What was Jim Harbaugh like to play for?
He's a good guy, man. He takes care of his players, and he's football oriented, to say the least. Like, he's a football.
Did he ever do any dances like we see on TikTok videos where we see coaches dancing in the locker rooms after games? Was there anything like that from Jim Harbaugh?
Nothing on camera, but he's a fun guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's not one of them. He doesn't need to show. We're a family. He don't need to show the media what we're on. But yeah, he's jumping when we win. When after the Big Ten, that's a Jim Harbaugh I've never seen. He was happy, dancing, jumping.
So I want to ask you this question. You came from Nigeria. You're born in Nigeria. Moved to Aberdeen, Scotland, I think in 2007.
Yeah.
In that neighborhood?
2007.
So one of the things for me is someone who looks at a lot of football players, there's a lot more. The Nigerian influx into college football is really taking off. I wrote up a kid who's from Ottawa, Jesse Lucada.
Lucada, that's my
from
boy,
Penn State.
Man.
Yeah. And he came from Ottawa to Penn State. Had a kind of, there's some similarities to your backgrounds. Mm. But there's so many Arnold Ebitike also from Penn State.
17.
Like, there's an influx of Nigeria. Is that anything that Nigerian players take pride in, that of the amount of players who are now having an impact on football?
Yeah, we all. I mean, even was Okora from Detroit. Yeah, he hit me up and just said, "Keep going, bro." And then, like, pointed out that we're both Nigerian. It's just something we do, man. When we see each other doing well, just even in public, we always acknowledge each other. So, you know. I mean, seeing us do well in the same sport is definitely a different type of
pride.
Did
you get ripped off on the NIL since you weren't a starter last year? People didn't know you were going to come up like this. Did you have any success with the NIL stuff?
I can't even make any money because I'm international. So
what does that mean?
I'm the only one on the team who can't make money because if you're on a student visa,
really?
An international player, I can't receive money. So,
So
yeah.
Outside of what, like, you get your stipend and everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. I'm saying, like, the NIL stuff, like, through my name, image, and likeness.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I haven't made any
student visa, apparently.
I need a work visa, I think, to, you know, or be a citizen for me to be able to make money.
Will you be a citizen after you're drafted?
I would imagine any way for me to make money, you know, or for me to become, you know, whatever it takes.
So you have to go get a work visa then?
I would assume so. My agency will handle all that.
You do.
I don't know.
Right.
You do have to get
a work.
Do you
want to become a citizen?
I'm cool whatever I have right now, to be honest. But, I mean, why not?
You got stuck in Scotland during COVID, didn't you?
Yeah.
I thought I read there. That. You went back and you weren't able to come back, right?
Yeah, I was stuck there for like 2-3 months.
How hard was it to understand those people?
In Scotland.
Oh yeah. When I first pulled up, they have a very, very thick, you know, I gave a lot of blank stares at first, but like you pick up it, you know, as time goes on.
That's funny.
He's a big golfer. Did you ever hit the golf course out there?
I won't lie, like I didn't. I need to though. That's on my bucket list. Yeah,
I don't know.
Smack
them. Yeah. It's a frustrating game.
That's my thing. I knew it'll frustrate me.
Keep playing football, bro. You're doing fine there. You're doing
stay
really
on that
well
path.
There.
Yeah, stay on that path. Yeah. So what's this? So let's get into the college football playoffs. Georgia was, you guys were heading into Georgia with a lot of confidence. Michigan team, you know, went over Ohio State. You guys won the Joe Moore Award for your offensive line. There was a lot of positive vibes headed into the game. And I heard someone make the comment that while it felt like the game was lost before they even played, like Michigan was intimidated by Georgia. You think that's accurate? I didn't feel that way. I just felt like you just got behind.
Yeah, I don't. What do you mean intimidation?
Yeah, I don't know what that meant. I didn't say it.
Yeah, I I don't know. No comment.
What happened with that? Why did it all go so badly?
I mean, they hit us with a couple trick plays, and we got down quick. You know, stuff like that, and you know, stuff we weren't really prepared for. You know, like that little pop pass from the running back to the wide receiver, like, you know, stuff we hadn't seen on tape. So they, you know, similar to our Iowa game, like we got up quick with our little trick plays and all that, and they didn't see it coming. So,
and there's some teams, and Iowa's a team that likes to be in control of the game, and when they're not, and Michigan's similar though. You guys like to be in control of the game. You were against Ohio State. You could play downhill and be physical, and you controlled it. It's a lot different when you're not in control of the game and you've got to try to scramble back. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
you're not
exactly,
used to it.
Exactly. So, you know, the same way we kind of jumped on Iowa early, and we were able to, you know, kind of maintain our solid defense while being up, you know.
How hard is being an athlete during the COVID stuff?
It's a lot, man, especially when we had to get tested, you know, daily. Every morning I would have to wake up and go get tested and come back and go back to sleep. Because if not, that couldn't go in the building. And it was a lot, man, from class to training to just all that.
Yeah, I would imagine. How fun was that Ohio State day?
Oh, my God. It was a dream. I still haven't woken up from it. It keeps replaying.
Man, that campus must have been nuts.
Nuts. Everybody. It took me like 20 minutes just to walk across the field to get to the locker room. Because, you know, they flooded the field. So even stuff like that, it's a movie.
That's a great experience for you to have that, because that's something you'll never forget. I know we have guys that who played at University of Texas when they won a national championship against USC. And that kind of stuff follows you around with fans forever. And it's something, and it's a memory that you will have the entire time. So you are... How much of the time did you take time to relax, rest, heal up if you had any nagging injuries before you start combine training, or did you get right to it?
Oh, I mean, that's what I'm doing right now. This is my rest week, and, you know, take a couple of days off, get massages, just sleep.
Where do you live here? How much time have you spent in Houston?
I've been here since I can't.
How come you didn't say something to us before? You could have come in whenever. Yeah, we have internships. You could have answered calls. Yeah, we could have brought food up here, got free food.
Man. Yeah, man. Yeah, I've been my home since I came to New Jersey. So, like, I've been here for, what, 3-4 years?
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Where do you go?
It's Royal Oaks.
Yeah.
The Country Club. Yeah.
Where do you go? Like, where do you go around Houston? Oh, anywhere?
I'm in the crib. I'm asleep.
True college student.
Yeah, I came here to rest. I didn't come here to party. So
over the last 3 years.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Nothing like when I come here, it's to rest.
Oh, and
like,
who are you working with to get ready for the combine?
So I'm with Exos and WME. I signed with WME, the agency.
William Morse Endeavors. It's where Carlos
Correa is. That's where Carlos
Correa is. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So which Exos?
San Diego.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, who you working out with?
I mean, Exos. Right? Oh, Exos. I don't know. Again, my agent.
Individual, they'll handle all that stuff. His agent hired my dad to do some offensive linemen, Ben Renzen, who I know. And then so what you do is you'll go to Exos, and they've got trainers there who are working on speed, explosiveness, you know, all the testing, things like that. Yeah. And then and I don't know if they do it as much for D linemen as they do for like O linemen, but then sometimes you'll get supplemental stuff where a former NFL coach might come in and work with guys on their talent too. So most of his training is going to be to test really well, because let's face it, that's where the money is made. Is, you know, if you test really well, the buzz level goes up at the combine, and it really helps. Other than that, once you're done testing, you never think about a 40-yard dash the rest of your life.
No.
Never think about a three-cone drill the rest of your life.
How fast were you running the 40?
Probably like a 4.4.
4.4? Are you playing DB?
His strength coach told me, David might touch 4.49. I said, come on now. He goes, he ain't going to run a 4. I said, what's he going to run, about 4.6? Pretty fast for a DN who's 2.50. I mean, what are you right now, 2.50?
2.50, yeah.
So he's 2.50 going to run a 4.6. That'd be fast. He goes, no, he'll be... being a 4.5s for sure, and he goes, I think 4.52, 4.49. He said he may touch the 4.4s. If you run a 4.4,
dude,
and you have a three-cone drill, which is the change of direction, like anything like Hutchinson's going to and like Quiddy Pay had, that's going
to
be
Are you going to have to put weight on?
I mean, are they going to? I'm just following directions. If they tell me to, yeah.
Well, here's what I was told. Here's what your strength coach told me. He's 50 to 60% of the physical development that he's going to have. He's going to be 10 to 15 pounds heavier. He's going to be way more muscular, and he's already muscular. And he said he's only 60% developed physically. So what you see isn't even what you're going to get. And I think that's one of the things that is going to be exciting, because for a lot of players, they're all maxed out, but you haven't even played that much football. You still are growing. And so I think that's what's going to be exciting to a lot of people. I will say this. The Houston Texans have a need at pass rush. The Houston Texans are drafting. You mentioned two teams to me in an email. You said, I don't know if you have any sway, but you mentioned two teams that you like to play for.
Yeah, man. Anywhere in Texas, for real, man, just because my family's here.
At least two teams.
At least there's two.
Texas, you know, and Dallas.
You know, that'll be a blessing, man. So
you would love to play here for the Texans.
Yeah, and just be around my family. It would just be like a full circle moment, you know, and I feel like it's destiny. So we'll see.
What about the Jets and Giants up in New Jersey?
That's not family.
Yeah, that's not.
But if they want to draft them, that's okay.
Hey, yeah, I'm not opposed, but, you know, on the family aspect, yeah.
Right here.
Hey, he went to boarding school. That's not family. That's just boarding school. Yeah.
That was class and stuff. We don't want that. Yeah, David Ojabo, right
cold.
Here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, best of luck, and we hope you get picked high and picked by the Texans.
Texans,
you hear that?
Texans need some pass rush.
All kinds of pull there. He should probably.
I have no pull there. I will tell you, I gave him a 6.5, which is going to be a grade that is going to be about middle of the first type grade. Cliff Avril, you remember him?
Yep. Lions.
Very athletic pass rusher who came from Purdue. Double-digit sack guy multiple years in
that's
his career.
Pro that's bowler. Your comp?
That's my comp on him. He's taller and bigger than Cliff Avril, but the athletic stuff is you gotta make
Cliff Avril's a good player.
He was a real good player.
Yeah, real good player. David, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming to the studio with us. There's David Ojabo. News of the Weird next right here. ESPN 97.5. I got to talk right now about Champion Energy. If you're looking for the best way to get that electricity in your home at a better price, Alex Bregman would not lie to you. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving today. It's ridiculous, ridiculous that you're paying more money than you have to for your electricity. Go to champion.energy/1560. Start saving now. I've been saving for a dozen years, and I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. Just go and find out for yourself, champion.energy/1560.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, thanks to David. Great stuff, David. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming by.
Don't forget us when you hit that first round. Don't forget us now.
I'm going to see you when he runs that 4-4. We got to see that 4-4, David, you promised us.
I got you, fam.
Lance, do you know the history of the burrito?
Yeah.
When
it started in Rosenberg back in 1936.
1936,
yeah,
the burrito.
Schultz's barbecue actually has pretty good Mexican food, and they started the burrito.
No, that's incorrect.
Okay.
It actually started in 2011. Kim Jong-un's father actually invented the burrito in 2011. Yeah. That was what was claimed in North Korea. That Kim Jong-un's father invented the burrito in 2011. So you don't know
what
your burrito
was
history.
Oh, I was just eating tacos.
Yeah, you don't know. See, it wasn't a burrito.
I was eating beef roll-ups, probably.
No, he invented those too.
I'm not sure. That is not in the story, Aaron. You're making that up.
You don't know your North Korean history.
I do know.
Yeah, nobody knows North Korean history.
So the father of... You know the... Novak Djokovic story, right?
Yeah, he was. They were going to basically let him have a pass on all the.
So he was going to play in the Australian Open, even though you have to be vaccinated. They gave him a medical exemption. However, the country Australia wouldn't let him in without, and they said sorry. While the Australian Open said he could play, the country of Australia said, "Oh no, you can't," and they deported him. His father, Sir John, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Djokovic, he said this: "Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, and now it's my son Novak who's being crucified."
Wow!
Do you see?
Is a Christ figure?
Do you see the comparison between Jesus Christ and Novak Djokovic? In your mind?
I mean, he's accomplished a lot. I don't see the same similarities, though. I don't see him as a Christ figure.
Hmm. You don't see that?
I don't.
But his dad does. So
you now can... comes the suffering. Yeah. So who knows?
Well,
maybe this
he is suffering
a...
not being able to
not
play.
Not play the Australian Open. Australian I mean, Open. This is...
I see it.
Yeah.
Kind of see it a little bit. Do you think it's wrong? A top Tennessee state representative, a lawmaker... Apparently, he was at a high school basketball game, and he tried to pants the referee. Do you think that it's appropriate behavior to pants a referee if you don't agree with the call?
I don't think it's appropriate behavior, period.
You don't think it's appropriate?
Should not pants referees. You ever been pantsed?
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, hey, somebody just took down my pants.
Yeah.
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 I don't think it's, I don't know. Maybe if it was a bad call, if it was a really egregious call, I don't know. Maybe that'll stop all the bad calls in basketball.
It's a deterrent.
It is a deterrent. I don't think there's any question. Do you think it's appropriate that there was a 40-mile icy stretch that took 9 hours for an Uber driver to get his passenger across? Do you think it's appropriate to charge $600 for your Uber ride?
I mean... Yeah.
You do.
Could he have wrecked?
Well,
on
it
the
took
ice?
9 hours. So
was he, did you get there safely?
Apparently after 9 hours you did get there safely.
Okay.
I would charge the Uber driver if you want to know the truth.
No.
Get me to my house, jerk.
If you go
I wouldn't have had a good rating.
Basically no, you'd have.
Yeah.
So basically how many miles was it?
It was 40 miles.
That's, yeah, he went basically
600 miles.
Yeah, he basically went four and a half miles an hour.
Yeah.
Do you want to slide off and wreck? How much is your life worth? Is your life worth $600?
Yeah, it's worth $600.
Fair then.
Okay.
Fair.
All right. Did you see that Kim Kardashian unfollowed Miley Cyrus?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, she did a New Year's Eve. Apparently, she was with Pete Davidson on their New Year's special.
Yeah.
And apparently,
Kim's how do people know this stuff? How do people know when somebody unfollows? When somebody with a billion followers unfollows somebody, how do they know that?
I don't know. Maybe she might have put it out there. Oh, Kim unfollowed me, bitch. But I don't understand the Pete Davidson thing, if you want to know the truth.
None of it makes sense.
No.
But what does Miley Cyrus have to do? What'd she do?
Well, Miley Cyrus, I don't know. Maybe she was flirting with Pete or whatever. And so Kim
did she talk trash about
Kim? Kim and Pete are an item.
I just can't do this anymore with Pete Davidson. Ariana Grande, Kim Kardashian, and Kate Beckinsale. Like, are you kidding me? That none of that makes sense.
None of it makes sense.
That dude, I've had people, girls say how hot he is. Gay men think he looks amazing. I'm like, what? Hey, man, y'all are the last bastion of what looks good and what doesn't. And you're putting a thumbs up on Pete Davidson, that troll?
And he's not that funny. He's just not that funny. I know women like a sense of humor, but I saw him. He's not that funny.
You saw him in concert?
In concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was dark. Very
How
dark.
He stayed on SNL through all these years, I have no idea.
Apparently, there's a big hubbub. Apparently, a customer... tipped a waitress with a $25 Amazon gift card, and it sparked outrage. Would you tip with a $25 gift card?
No, I wouldn't, but it sparked outrage.
Well, if you had a $100 tab and gave a $25 gift card for Amazon gift card, is that an appropriate tip?
Well, look, I get it. Somebody might say, I can't, this money's already spent. I need this to pay bills. I get it.
That's exactly the argument.
That's the argument. And I get that. the sparking outrage, of course, it's the internet, so I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? If I had a bill to pay, like, okay, light bills have to be paid today. Okay, I need to make at least $90 on my shift. I got there. This one should get me there. I'm like, here's your gift card.
What the?
Guys, can I sell this gift card to any of you guys?
Well, I would sell it for $20, and I just got a $20 tip for a $25.
You lost $5.
Lost $5. That's all right. That's the price of doing business. How often does the American, average American worry about money every day?
6 hours.
No, how many times do they think about money problems?
10.
Six times. Six times a day. The average American worries about money.
You ain't the average American, friendo.
Well, I worry if I'm going to get... What if I don't catch those aces? What if I don't catch down a flop?
Losing your chips is not the same as having a money concern.
It's the same to me.
It's not the same as worrying about your money.
Gift card, Mr. Tipping with gift cards, but...
It's the same
to me, brother.
Losing 25% of your stack is not the same.
Not to you, but
as don't tell me having financial worries.
My stack's all about. But I'll tell you today at Prime how that goes. It's 9:57. We're done. You all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday, everybody.
Bye, bitch.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.